The Marching Roundtable is an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
It makes perfectly good sense to expect to live a life of ongoing improvement, not a life in which everything always goes your way, because you know sometimes it just has to be somebody else's turn to win. But I mean a life in which you are always improving upon the way you are doing the things you do, the way your life is going. And when you take perfection out of the equation, you see, and get over the need to always be right or always be outdoing somebody else, then the business of making ongoing progress, raising the bar on your personal best, gets to be an all-consuming and very interesting, very enjoyable, very rewarding, and very, very possible thing. See, in other words, when you stop minding everybody else's business and just start minding your own.
This is your host, Tim Hinton, and that was Dr. Kennedy Schultz. If you're involved in any way in the competitive world of the marching arts, you need to hear this podcast. I firmly believe that focusing on doing one's personal best, rather than focusing on winning, is unquestionably the way to have more success in our activities. For many years, I was a student of Dr. Kennedy Schultz, and he's one of the greatest speakers and teachers I've ever heard. One of my favorites of his talks was titled Personal Best, and we're going to hear an excerpt from that here. Trust me, you need to hear this fantastic talk, as it will motivate you to stay focused on the right things and could transform your season and your work. As an arranger, show designer, and consultant, I constantly encounter directors and instructors who waste huge amounts of time and energy focusing on their competition and scores rather than their own group and their own personal performance. I hope you enjoy this excerpt from the talk, Personal Best, by Dr. Kennedy Schultz.
You and I are not in the world to outdo anyone but ourselves. You and I are not here to be more right than anyone else, but to be all right within ourselves. You and I are not going to find our happiness by being better in any way than anyone else, but only by being every day, in every way, better than our yesterday's selves. I want to always be better than the yesterday me. And that's the full-time job, trying to do that. All of this is for us to do as we go out about our daily work in this world, minding our own business very, very, very well. All healing, all growth, all prospering takes place in an atmosphere of peace and harmony, not in an atmosphere of fear and not in an atmosphere of conflict. All healing, all growth, all prospering takes place in an atmosphere of peace and harmony, and our well-being is not advanced by our ability to compete, but rather by our ability to cooperate with each other. And when I say cooperate, I mean do what we need to do to make our life worth living, without any thought of outdoing anyone else and without the slightest fear that your neighbor's gain might be your loss. As a matter of truth, your neighbor's success, whatever it is, your neighbor's success in anything is always evidence of your own greater possibility. You know that? Your neighbor's success at anything is always evidence of your own greater possibility. When someone else succeeds, the intelligent response of that success is constructive. The constructive response. It is an attitude of deep interest and respect in what they have achieved. Not an attitude of resentment or regret. Deep interest and respect for what they have achieved. Now, I, for one, and deeply interested in people who are succeeding in things that interest me. I don't want their success. I don't want anything from them in that way. I simply want to understand the way they think. Because the way they think got them there. I want to understand the way they think and how they do what they do. I'm very interested in that. It's not a matter of liking them or not liking them. It is a matter of respecting the creative action of God that is obviously succeeding through them. I want to know about that. I am very interested in rich people. And I don't mean the ones that inherit their fortunes or win the lottery. Most of them are dull as dust. But I mean in people who have, through the pursuit of their own interests and abilities, grown rich. Now, I don't think that they're necessarily any nicer people than poor people, but they're much more interesting. Oh, yes. I would rather have a 30-minute conversation with Bill Gates about how he got rich than with some poor soul about how, try as he might, he can't make a dime. I ain't interested in that. I already know how to lose money. I don't know how, need to hear a thing about that. No, indeed. You know, Mr. Gates is not rich because anyone else in the world is poor. He is rich because he knows how to think correctly about something. See? And what he knows as a result of this is free and plentiful. It's free and plentiful. See? And it will come to anyone who will make it their business to receive it, respect it, and try to make something out of it in his or her own way. Now, there's a very interesting term that comes to us out of the world of sports. And it's the term personal best. And truly professional athletes, the ones who really aim high and who do well, are very, very well aware of what this term personal best means. It means that each time they play or perform, their focus is on playing or performing better this time than at any previous time. See, their ideal is to exceed their best game or their best match to date. And they know that very well they know that on a material level they are competing against another player or another team. But on the spiritual level, the level where we find our deep satisfaction, on the most meaningful level, they are most concerned with doing their own personal best in that game or in that match. And athletes who approach their sport in this consciousness are always winners. They are always winners, no matter what the score is or where they stand in the rankings at the end of the game or the match. They're always winners. And when they carry this attitude with them throughout their career in sports, they are not only successful athletes, they are true champions. They are the true champions. They are the people who make the game or the sport really worthwhile, whether they are winning or whether they are losing. They are the people who bring excellence to the game, no matter what. See, this idea that it's all about winning goes hand in hand with the idea that one always has to be right. Sure. and the idea that everything is about winning and that we always have to be right, these are pernicious notions. They do not come from the kind of thinking that believes in excellent living through love and cooperation. What it is really all about is being committed to personal excellence in all that we do and welcoming every challenge to let our personal ability grow and show. Now, this does not mean that we should feel the same whether we win at something or lose at something. That would be inhuman. Everybody would prefer to win all the time, but nobody does, you see. But it does mean that we should play the game in such a way that we can lose it without being a loser. That's possible, you know, that we can lose it without being a loser. And you are not ever a loser if you play it well. And you always come out ahead if you have once again topped your own personal best. And as far as being always right is concerned, I mentioned that before. I know all about being always right because I come from a long line of people who were always right. Always. Most of them were never very happy, but they were always right. Most of them worked and slaved all life long and wound up without a pot. But they were always right, I mean to tell you. Some of them alienated their friends, abused their children, and drank themselves to death. But by God, they were always right. These were people who never lost an argument, never conceded a point, and never changed their minds about anything at all. And they tell you, when I get an idea, I stick to it. And I grew up thinking this was their virtue. See? I grew up thinking this was their virtue rather than their vice. And every day of my life, I thank God that somewhere along the line, I was able to see this for the gross mistake that it is. Because then I could at least try not to fall into the same dismal ditch. And it hasn't been an easy chore for me either. Particularly when something inside me keeps saying, you're always right, Ken. You're always right. Tell you the most amazing story, though. I have come to the point where I really, truly love to discover that I have been wrong about something or someone. Because, you see, I do not perceive such a revelation, such a discovery as a threat to my intelligence or to my character or to my well-being. I see it really as an opportunity to get it right. And I want to get it right. I want to get everything right. Because I really do love to be right. And I am perfectly willing to learn whatever it takes to get it right. I'm willing to give up whatever I have been holding on to for a long time, and that's sometimes hard to do, but I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to give up whatever I must. I'm willing to apologize or make amends wherever necessary in exchange for the wonderful, wonderful gift of getting it right, of getting it right at last. Now, I still have to be convinced. I am no pushover. But the difference is, I am willing to be convinced. I listen and watch and rethink. I delight in changing my mind when intelligence, sanity, and love call upon me to change it. Sure. Now, doing your personal best has nothing to do with perfection. It has everything to do with progress. You know, we throw around that word perfection, 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 as if we knew what it meant. We don't know what that means. No one has ever been it, and nobody has ever seen it, so how do we know what it means? No. There is not a living soul who has ever, and there never will be a living soul who has ever known what perfection is. And still we keep talking about it and pursuing it. We don't know what it is. So isn't it about time we stopped expecting it of ourselves and expecting it of each other? Expecting perfection of ourselves and each other is setting ourselves up for a life of ongoing disappointment. Don't you know that? Sure. Say, well, why am I always disappointed in everything? Because you're expecting perfection. Oh, yeah. Next question. See, it doesn't make any sense at all. But I'll tell you what does make sense. It makes perfectly good sense to expect to live a life of ongoing improvement and to hold yourself to that. See, it doesn't take anything to hold yourself to a quest for perfection because it's a fantasy anyhow. But to hold yourself to a commitment to a life of ongoing improvement, that's a reality. It requires something from you every day. That's why it's not nearly as interesting as perfection. It makes perfectly good sense to expect to live a life of ongoing improvement, not a life in which everything always goes your way, because you know sometimes it just has to be somebody else's turn to win. But I mean a life in which you are always improving upon the way you are doing the things you do, the way your life is going. And when you take perfection out of the equation, you see, and get over the need to always be right or always be outdoing somebody else, then the business of making ongoing progress, raising the bar on your personal best, gets to be an all-consuming and very interesting, very enjoyable, very rewarding, and very, very possible thing. See, in other words, when you stop minding everybody else's business and just start minding your own. I don't think Michael Jordan's game is about beating anybody or outdoing anybody. I don't. I think Michael Jordan's game is about making a glorious show of his considerable talent for the sport. I think that's what's in his mind when he takes the court. You know, his team doesn't always win. But he always does, doesn't he? He's always a champ. And it's not the scoreboard that makes him the champion he is. Not at all. I don't think that Andre Agassi wins as many matches as he does because his mind is on beating his opponent. I think his mind is on playing the best match he has ever played every time he plays. I think he takes the measure of his opponent. You have to know there's somebody on the other side of the net. But I'll bet you that he is much more focused on what he is doing and the way he is doing it than he is worried about what that one's doing or what that one might do. And Agassi doesn't win every time either. But every time he plays like a champion. And that's what makes him always worth watching, always worth following. See, it's not perfection that makes him a champ, it's commitment. And it's not perfection that makes you and I champs either. It's commitment. Life gets so much better, I think, and success comes so much more frequently and so much more sweetly too, when we stop living in opposition to our environment. And our environment, of course, includes other people of all kinds. When we stop living in opposition to other people and start keeping our mind focused on who we are and what we are doing.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this talk, and I hope you'll have a conversation about this with your staff. And if you enjoyed this talk, I think you should consider reading some of Dr. Schultz's books. You can find links to some of these at our website where this podcast is located at marchingroundtable.com. These books include A Legacy of Truth, a book where Dr. Schultz shares stories of great individuals throughout history who made big contributions to the world by the way they taught others to think. Be inspired. If you find our podcasts helpful, please share them with a friend or colleague who you think could benefit. They can hear our podcast on iTunes. Just search for the Marching Roundtable in podcasts there, or listen on our mobile app. And of course, you can always listen or download at our website at marchingroundtable.com. While at the website, you can search in our podcast archives for over 700 other podcasts. I guarantee there's lots of topics there that you'll find helpful and interesting. And keep up with upcoming releases and recordings that are happening by following the Marching Roundtable on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. And receive our biweekly newsletter by signing up for a free VIP membership at marchingroundtable.com. We hope you'll support the podcast on our Patreon page. Even a small donation will really help us keep sharing this information. Find out more at patreon.com/marchingroundtable. This podcast is sponsored by Tim Hinton Incorporated, found at timhinton.com. That's TimHinton.com. Visit Tim's website to find over 65 shows for marching band, shows written at many difficulty levels, and which have proven successful both competitively and educationally for the bands which performed them. You can also order Tim's book, Marching Band, A Field Guide, which is full of practical information to help anyone working with a marching group. Tim also offers design advice from his many years in the activity to help you avoid problems and to give you expert input early in the design process. All of this and more at timhinton.com.